Alongside the growth and development of the DMT as an organisation came a change in the way files and data were stored and handled. There were many recollections of the elaborate manual filing system that contained all the registration and licensing details on every car and driver in New South Wales. Ken Souter, formerly a project officer with the Drives project team, again Tom Souter, and John Thogerson, formerly a special project officer and manager, Special Plates Branch, gave us these insights to the manual filing system and work process.
All the work from the police was in a section called Registration Revenue. And there was about 180 people worked in that area. Most of the work came in via the mail, so somebody had to go to the GPR and they picked up bags and bags of mail, and then that all had to be opened and sorted into this various categories. And then lots of the young girls who were the typists would open all the mail, and all the young men would then move back out into the central area of Registration Revenue, where they would then sit down and the work would commence to flow from the mail room and they would begin to check it. Then the work flowed to another area, all in the same section, where all those registration and licence documents had to be receipted. You know, and it was an assembly line type thing.
And it was all done by hand in those days. It was hand entering onto a card for a vehicle. And now those cards were all maintained in drawers, which were about shoulder height. Drawers were stacked one on top of the other. There were a large number of people in that room, so we were all trying to access the drawers at the same time, and the drawers were in number order, number of the number plate. So what would happen is the person at the top drawer would pull the drawer out and someone else would need to get the bottom drawer or a drawer below the top drawer. You could end up with being hit with the drawer. It used to be pretty frequent that you'd be covered with grease because the rollers on the drawer were all greased.
Well, it was fairly draconian, really, when I started, when I think about it. At that stage, biros came with a refillable, and when your biro was empty, you had to take the refill back and you'd be given another refill. Then we moved to fixed biros, and if you lost your biro, you got another one allocated, but you couldn't get another one that week. I remember distinctly when our first photocopier arrived, and a person, his name was Lucky Paradisio, as a matter of fact, was allocated to operate the photocopier, and it came with a fire extinguisher because it used to catch fire so often. We had machines that were called card veyors. These were a mechanical filing cabinet, and it was like a big rotating drum with arms on it, and that's where we filed all license cards in those. There was no air conditioning, of course, and the trick was that they had the big fans and somebody would throw a bag of glue in it and spray it all over all these cards, and the poor person whose cabinet wasn't responsible for it had to clean it up.
In 1959, a seemingly revolutionary tool, the mechanisation of filing, began to be implemented.
When I first started in 1959, the DMT was just on the brink of what we used to call mechanisation in those days. And what they'd just undertaken was the purchase of this brand new U-Boot technology, this punch card technology, which, for those who don't remember, was a card with holes punched in it which could then be read by a pretty antiquated computer by today's standards, which would interpret those holes as letters and numbers and be able to produce details of a person's registration and their name and address and so forth. So instead of the girls in follow-up having to type all of these renewal notices, all of these punch cards were fed into this weird-looking, massive, great printer thing with all these hoppers where the cards sat, and the operator would put in the stationery, which would be continuous registration car renewal stationery, press a button, the cards would go through, and clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-click, out would come all those renewal notices. And of course, this saved masses of typing.
Mechanisation of files may have saved a lot of typing, but it did have its problems, as Paul Cullen, acceptance testing supervisor, Drives Quality Control, recounts.
We're talking about millions of records, and there was millions of these punch cards. And at one stage of the game, I remember we used to have to take them down to what we called mechanisation, they classified it as like a computer room, but what it was is a whole bunch of collating machines. And we have to go down through a system of dumb waiters. And a good friend of mine was waiting at a dumb waiter with something like 30,000 cards and bent over and knocked 30,000 cards down the stairs. So 30,000 records took about 3 weeks to recollate, so he wasn't a popular person. But that was life in those days. It was fairly primitive.
Ken Souter recalled that by the early 1970s, the DMT's punch card system was very old-fashioned.
By that time, computer systems had developed to the stage where punch cards were virtually obsolete in all major First World countries. DMT was actually dragging behind a bit. So IBM worked with the DMT and they selected a group of people that would head up a team to change or convert this punch card system into an online disk-based computer system.
Putting all the punch cards onto the new Kix computer system was a huge undertaking, as Alan Morey reflects.
After the initial influx, there were guys working 4 and 5 nights a week on a Saturday, so they weren't getting time off at all and they were just burnt out. So they brought people from other areas in. We had people working there overtime, 2 nights a week and all, and Saturdays, entering data, running down problems. The old licence numbers, you had to match that against their conviction records. Prior to that, the conviction records were just kept on the folder. So there was transcription errors and all that sort of thing. So they all had to be married up. And some guys there were miraculous setup. They just look at a number and say, oh, that's got to be such and such, and they'd pull it out.
The Kix computer system was used by the DMT for around 20 years. And by the 1980s, the Kix system itself was considered outdated, as Jeff Deacon comments.
The technology that was operating at the DMT was pretty outdated. And the systems were, you know, unbelievable. We were sort of looking at things where people would go in and get their registration, for instance, and you'd line up and you'd give someone some paper and you'd be told to go and sit down, and then so someone would come back and they'd give you another bit of paper and then tell you to go and sit down while you waited for the cashier. So essentially there were 3 steps, and at the end of that, nothing had been actually updated to the computer system, and people, about 500 people as I recall, had a job of sitting down there and batching them and keying them, and somewhere up to 2 weeks after the time you actually went and renewed your registration, the files would reflect the fact that you'd done it.
The real revolution in data handling and also in customer service was the development and installation of the Drive system. Jeff Deacon and Ken Souter explain how Drives works.
In concept, it wasn't particularly innovative. Technologically, it was considered to be either leading edge or bleeding edge. The concept was that any person in the registry could take any transaction and finalise it. In terms of how it works from a technical perspective, there are PCs at each of the desks in the registries, but essentially they are dumb terminals. The core of the system is all housed back at what's now Flemington. The computer system operates off a fairly massive central processing unit. The main operating system for it is Unix. It ran at that stage on a Fujitsu mainframe processor. It doesn't do that anymore. It runs on the Sun. The database it uses is a thing called Oracle, and is a relational database that stores all the tables and the information about everything, so that in theory you can cross-reference almost anything about it, anything.
It is a fairly efficient way to store data. In the IBM system, before Drives, if we had 25,000 people who lived at Redfern, then the address of the suburb Redfern would be stored 25,000 times against those people. It would be stored 25,000 times in their motor vehicle data record. Now, because we also had an alphabetical system in the IBM before drives, and that alphabetical system stored name and, amongst other things, suburb, those 25,000 people would be in the alphabetical system again with Redfern. So they're there 50,000 times. Now, if they're also, each one of those 25,000 people hold a driver's license, they are in the driver's license master file with Redfern 25,000 times again. Now, in a relational database, we have Redfern stored once in one reference table. And because we have a relational database structure, we only have that person ideally stored once, and that person can link to a driver's license, many registrations, lots and lots of different bits of data.
Political questions and industrial problems plagued the introduction of the drive system, as Jeff recalls.
Drives would have been fairly low-key, in my view, although still an incredible challenge, but I mean, it was done at a time when there was a minority government in New South Wales. Griner was sort of suffering from lack of a majority, and every little thing that sort of was coming up was sort of scrutinised and got an airing in Parliament that normally they would have gagged a bait on. And I mean, it just wouldn't have happened if the majority had been any size at all. You had that, you had the amalgamation, and they were just sort of moving to recruiting people like me from outside the DMR to introduce some different views into the way that was done. Now, as drives evolved, we had some pretty rough times. And, you know, we had a demarcation dispute between the two unions, for instance, that were involved. We had Australian Services Union had coverage of the DMT, and the Public Service Association had coverage of the DMR. And in the amalgamation, there was a sort of somewhat of a demarcation dispute between those two unions, and the RTA, as it then was pushing to have single coverage and eventually won. And the two unions were at each other's throat to determine who that should be. Drives are going to put 500 people out of work. And that's probably the hardest thing I personally ever had to do, was stand in front of 500 people in DMT and sort of said, look, I need you for the next year or so. But at the end of the day, the work you're doing is not the work of the 1990s.
Drives was introduced into registries in two stages. Licensing records were put online in 1991 and registration records in 1992. In both cases, it was planned that the changeover from kicks to drives would occur over a weekend period. On Friday, at close of business, the kick system was taken offline, and on the following Monday, all records were accessed through the drive system. As Jeff Deacon and Paul Cullen recall, these were anxious days.
Neither day worked exactly as the way we wanted to, so both were fairly anxious sort of days. But the main issue was always going to be, will the system perform? But unfortunately, it didn't perform the way we wanted. The combination of the performance and the lack of knowledge led to sort of long queues in the registries and people having what I imagine was a terrible time.
They shut the old IBM system off, and the Monday they said, okay, with drives, we're all ready, and everyone hit the button, and the system went to wait, and that was the end of it. That stopped, and we had to go to what they classified. They had an offline contingency, and it was the only time I couldn't physically serve a customer with a license. We just went onto a long wait, and just wait. It was shocking. Had people hanging out the doors, and my manager storming up with his keys to the regional manager said, here are my keys. He said, give me back the old system or you can have the keys to the registry. And that was the way it was. There was a lot of angst, a lot of pressure, and a lot of people, you know, really pushed to the limit.